Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how you doing?
I'm hankering to see a movie. How about you?
Can we go watch Fury Road again?
I will definitely do that.
Good, because I already watched it last night. I want to watch it again. Before we get going to this week's episode, please remind you guys, rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you listen to us. It really helps us out, gets us more listeners. We really appreciate that. Gets more eyes on the podcast. We obviously want that. If you do that, really helps out. This week's episode, Cut the Chase, Itchy and Scratchy, the movie, episode 9F03, originally aired November 3rd, 1992, written by John Swartzwelder, directed by Rich Moore. I finished 25th in the ratings for that week with a rating of 12.5, with approximately 11.6 million viewing households. It was third rated, this is a very strange thing, third highest rated show on Fox that week, following another Simpsons episode and Beverly Hills 90210.
Weird. Like, why would they have two episodes in a week?
Because this episode was on election night. They instead of airing election night coverage, Fox aired The Simpsons and other programming, hoping to co-opt people who were not interested in watching anything about politics. Unfortunately, it ended up hurting them, and they got less viewers than they probably would have. They also just had another episode on Thursday, on the typical Thursday night time slot. So they had two Simpsons, one on Tuesday and one on Thursday. So Itchy and Scratchy, the movie on Tuesday, and Marge Gets a Job, which our next episode, on Thursday. But Marge Gets a Job had higher ratings, probably because it was not going against the election special.
That, and people probably didn't realize, hey, the Simpsons are on that night? That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's hard to get the word out in those days.
Especially, I mean, that was the first Bill Clinton victory. I'm sure that's probably was a big deal at the time. I think every presidential election, kind of a big deal.
That would be true.
The chalkboard gag, I will not bury the new kid.
There have been so many new kids on The Simpsons over the years. Some of them deserve burying, others not so much.
We haven't seen, I mean, most of the new kids just disappear after 1 week.
Well, yeah.
Wish they could come back. The couch deflates after the family sits on it. Not bad.
It's okay. Classic, you know.
Yeah, that's fine. Good. Episode begins with a Star Trek parody, which was not too far from the truth. By the ending, I mean, especially like Shatner and Generations. Stretching a little bit.
He looks exactly like that, really.
Yeah, he was maybe a little too better for that. But the setup is that the parents are going to a parent-teacher meeting where the kids stay home. They're being babysat by Grandpa, and both Marge and Homer are going to go to the school and talk to the teachers, Krabappel and Hoover, and, you know, get the skinny on how the kids are doing. Homer makes a deal with the kids about what they're going to eat for dinner, depending on how well they do.
What are we going to have?
Well, that depends on what your teachers say. If you've been good, pizza. If you've been bad, let's see, poison.
What if one of us has been good and one of us has been bad? Poison pizza.
Oh, no, I'm not making two stops.
Oh, Homer, don't you know there's tons of poison around the house you can just add willy-nilly? Just go under the sink.
They go to the school. The slogan on the front is "Let's share the blame." Beautiful. Marge, of course, is tasked with going to Miss Krabappel, as she is every year, because Homer winds his way out of it. That's what he do. And we get a list of Bart's quote unquote atrocities.
Bart has been guilty of the following atrocities: synthesizing a laxative from peas and carrots, replacing my birth control pills with Tic-Tacs.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sure Bart doesn't really mean to be bad.
Now's our chance to be bad.
And that's kind of what this episode becomes, is about, like, why Bart acts the way he does.
Yeah.
Like, is it really just because they don't discipline enough?
They make it seem like that.
Yeah, because it seems like the reason he just keeps acting up is because there's never true consequence. At the same time, Marge is in with Miss Krabappel. Homer is with Miss Hoover. Of course, Lisa has done well, and congratulates Homer. He gives all the credit to reading TV Guide to Lisa at a young age. Bart and Lisa are at home with Grandpa. Bart has taken his dentures and is doing various destructive things to them. He puts them in his own mouth, which is pretty gross. He bites a ceiling fan, rips up, like, bites chunks out of records, like vinyl records.
So weird.
Yeah. I kind of like it because it is kind of the random destruction a 10-year-old would do. Like, they wouldn't have any kind of grand statement about things. They'd just go, I'm going to destroy these things because they're things.
Yep.
Yeah. Miss Garoppolo warns after Homer finally joins Marge, Miss Garoppolo warns them about, well, I wouldn't say warns. I would just say encourages them to discipline him more, and who knows where it might lead.
I believe with persistent discipline, even the poorest student can end up becoming, say, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. What great men he would join. John Marshall, Charles Evans Hughes, Warren Burger. Burger.
I'm a little surprised at Homer's excellent knowledge of our past Supreme Court chief justices.
It's a little weird, right?
I mean, Homer's just, I guess, very entranced with those very specific men.
That's true. Homer does often show a surprising amount of knowledge of random sources for no particular reason.
Yeah. So they come home and find that Bart has broken Grandpa's dentures, which are quite expensive, actually. A full denture set are thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And at this point, Bart kind of pulls the thing that they've talked about already, is that he makes them feel like they've already punished him when they haven't done anything. And Marge she's trying to like be firm this time and bring the hammer down and say, no, you get no dinner. They brought home pizza. But Bart doesn't get any. Bart is, you know, she's like, stop being so confident. I really like that. When Bart was like, you're going to cave. You're going to give me a pizza. Don't, like, we both know it. And Marge is like, stop being confident. I really like it. But, you know, and Bart is up in his room being kind of bratty, like, you know, demanding pizza. He's like, you know, acting, I'm so hungry. And eventually start seeing it does like an old, like the old Looney Tunes cartoon type of thing where he starts seeing Santa's Little Helper as food. He visions Santa's Little Helper's head as a pizza box and his tongue as a slice of pizza going in and out.
So weird.
And it's them subtly introducing, like, it reminded me of the time in what's the name of the episode, Matt, with the fish, General Sherman.
Oh, why are names of episodes so hard? Oh, season 2, right? War of the Simpsons.
War of the Simpsons, yes. It kind of reminded me of that, when the fish winked at the camera.
Yeah, it completely pulls you out. I mean, in this case, it's like, it's kind of almost like a dream sequence, so it makes a little more sense than the fish winking at the camera, but,
yeah. Yeah, I'm like, I don't think I've ever been so hungry. Like, I've never been hungry that I've hallucinated that a dog is food. But I mean, they get much crazier later on, so I it doesn't bother me. It's a thing. It's a thing. And we're at the point when Bart thinks that maybe they're serious this time.
Maybe they mean it this time. From now on, I guess I better straighten up and fly.
Bart, don't tell your mother, but I brought you some pizza. Just promise me you'll try to be good.
I promise.
Atta boy.
Sucker.
And how do you feel about Bart in this episode, Matt? Like, it doesn't feel like they're disingenuous to his character, but it does make him feel like more like he's a force of nature than he is like an actual character.
I would completely agree. I mean, it's like you said, it's not super out of character for Bart, but they make it like, at heart, he is a really bad kid, and it's up to the parents to make him into a productive member of society rather than go with a more balanced approach that would be more realistic. It's kind of simplistic, and, you know, I think they do a better job in later seasons of the balance. I'm particularly thinking of the episode in season 8 where they go to the military academy, I think is a really good balance of Bart's character. And in this case, he just seems like a jerk, and they make it seem like that's natural for a little boy.
Yeah, he's just like a hurricane, and and don't get me wrong, I really enjoyed this episode. It's just, that's the thing that's a little strange. That seems like a natural place to end the episode, but instead they cut to, in the act, I mean, but instead they cut to Grandpa trying to steal Jasper's dentures. Jasper has a gun under his pillow.
Well, I mean, honestly, if you lived in a nursing home, you should probably sleep with a gun under your pillow. That's just the way it is.
I mean, it's really funny, but I know, like, it's just a strange thing for them to cut to. But, you know, that's, and Jasper pulls a gun on him and says, Was it the Tooth Fairy?
Well, if it isn't the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah.
Good old Mr. Beardley.
Yeah, Mr. Beardley. But with that, it cuts to commercial.
And when we come back, we see Lisa watching the television, and they show a commercial for the Itchy and Scratchy movie. And then right as the commercial starts, we cut to Bart being a Bond villain, which, again, he is being shown as pure evil in this episode because he literally has a James Bond figure. I believe that it's a Sean Connery Bond. I could be wrong. I'm not great with my Bonds. But Bart is petting the cat and putting the Sean Connery figure into the microwave and monologuing, essentially, like a Bond villain would do. But Lisa yells for him that there's an Itchy and Scratchy movie, and they come back and they watch the commercial, which I wanted to capture, but it's so much visual humor, like Itchy and Scratchy usually is. It's not going to do much, but if you have access to this episode, go watch it. It's hilarious. I mean, it's Itchy and Scratchy, I mean, in movie form, essentially. I don't know if there was some sort of narrative that they culled together for this fake movie, but I really doubt it. But they go and watch it, and basically they are flipping the hell out about the movie. They're excited beyond measure for it. Once we're done with that, well, it's a commercial. Homer comes in and asks Bart if he took out the garbage like he asked.
Boy, you're gonna have to be punished for this.
Dad. You could punish me, but that means you have to think of a punishment, sit here, and make sure I do it.
Aww.
Or you could let me go play with Milhouse while you spend the afternoon watching unpredictable Mexican sitcoms.
Ay, el estómago.
Run along, you little champ.
So here, you know, we see Homer essentially caving in immediately with very little thought. As apparently it happens all the time. And is this the first appearance of Bumblebee Man?
That's what I would say it is. I don't remember. I don't think we've seen him yet. And the comments on the news group kind of back us up because they're like, who is this guy? Why is there a... they don't even know what, like, he's like some guy in a bug costume. Like they can't even, they don't nail down what kind of costume he's wearing. I guess at first, because the episode just aired, but you guys should also enjoy that ominous music, the drumming behind that clip.
That's totally in the episode, Robbie. I mean, it was in my episode.
Was it? Was there like a Batman movie running on the TV when a Christopher Nolan Batman movie? It's like,
yes, yes, there was actually. Okay. That's what they were watching during that episode, that scene.
No, but you're right, and the clip I had with Homer giving a pizza, like that's what it is. It's just Homer caving in over and over and over again.
Yeah, apparently he can't stand to be seen as the bad guy, which, you know, that's one of Homer's big faults, obviously.
I think that is actually pretty honest to character to Homer, because he really doesn't like, he likes being liked.
Yeah, I mean, his attitude towards being popular in pretty much every single episode is completely a great example of this, because Homer is always about being popular and being liked. So even his kid, who he should be able to discipline, takes advantage of that. But that's Homer for you. From this, we see the Itchy and Scratchy mania starting throughout the town, and we see pretty much the best billboard ever. We see a couple of newlyweds pull up, and they are immediately just covered in fake blood, and you wonder why. And then the camera pans up to see an Itchy and Scratchy billboard where Itchy is, I believe, cutting Scratchy's head off with an axe. And it's actually one of those animatronic billboards that moves, and every time the axe hits, Scratchy's head goes down and blood pours out the side. So I really hope they have a gigantic tank of fake blood behind that, but it looks really funny, and I wish real billboards were more like that.
There was one in New Zealand, they actually, for Kill Bill, there actually was a
billboard. Oh, really?
Yeah, there was. It's actually in an article by Mental Floss about real-life events predicted by The Simpsons. They did in New Zealand, they did a Kill Bill billboard that shot red liquid onto a street in Auckland.
That is so great.
But I would not want to be driving my car and be sprayed with some red liquid, so I can't. I think
if it was a convertible.
I think it did it that one time, and then I don't think it shot continually, because yes, that is a lot of liquid.
But anyway, the couple that gets squirted, of course, are totally okay with this. They're just like, aha, it's Itchy and Scratchy, because everyone is totally okay with this amount of cartoon violence in the Simpsons universe. We then cut to Bart, who is apparently smashing mustard packets with a hammer.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Bart, be careful.
Why are you doing that?
Oh.
Well, this time you must be punished.
Well, you could punish me, but...
No tricks, boy. I said I'm going to punish you, and come hell or high water, I... Wait a minute. Ice cream truck! Me! I was here first! Now, what were we talking about, boy?
We were talking about the time you beat jury duty.
Oh, yeah. The trick is to say you're prejudiced against all races.
I'd just like to say that no, that trick does not work anymore for jury duty. I'll just stick you on a boring case or something. So don't try that.
It's no, what you say is I have relatives that are cops. That's the true secret.
Oh, see, kids, you're learning something today. We then cut to the next instance of Bart being terrible, and he's literally pulling up the rug. Like, just why?
I do like this mindless destruction. Like, I mean, we talked about how, like, it's not necessarily really makes him a character. It just makes him, like, a bad kid. But
yeah,
it's very creative. Like, smashing mustard packets. Just, like, it is, like, I remember being a small child and just randomly destroying things. And making my father very upset. He's like, why would you do this? I'm like, I don't know. It just was a thing.
It seemed like fun.
Yeah, it's a toy. You play with it.
Everything's a toy to a dumb child.
Uh-huh. It's kind of true.
But at this point, Homer isn't even paying attention to him. Homer is drinking beer and watching TV. That's what Homer does. Marge and Lisa come home from shopping, and Lisa immediately exclaims, "We got beets!"
At
the point, I would throw something at her because
that was
beets are disgusting.
So funny to me. I love that. Like, this is definitely a Bart episode. And a Homer episode to a certain extent, but they just slip in Lisa's such, like, she's not even, like, close to being a vegetarian yet, but she's so happy about having beets. Like, it just is the best.
Of course, Marge immediately sees Bart with his random destruction, gets mad and says, asks Homer, why are you letting him do this? And, wow, sorry, brain fart. And Bart says, or Homer says, I don't know. And Marge at this point, Marge at this point is just completely exasperated with Homer and says, you know, why we have to do something with Bart. Do you want him to be Supreme Chief Justice of the Supreme Court or a sleazy male stripper? And Homer, in yet another amazingly fact-filled, you know, reminiscence, says, can he be both, like the late Earl Warren? And, of course, one of my favorite jokes of all time with The Simpsons, actually, Marge says, Earl Warren wasn't a stripper, and Homer replies, now who's being naive? Which I just, any of you who've ever studied the history of law and know Earl Warren, that should send shivers down your spine, but it's hilarious in every way.
Yeah, that's another one of those very clever, but very, like, deep, deep cuts of, like, really, and it's John Swartzwelder wrote this episode, so I, like, he, tons of things like that, so it doesn't surprise me, but it's one of those epitome of, like, a Simpsons joke where it's like referencing a very obscure thing in history that you have to be nerdy to know, and then playing off of that fact, like, it's subverting a fact that you don't even know.
Yeah, I think this is a bit of a tangent, so I apologize. You guys can fast forward if you don't care, but I feel like this is one of those times when something, you can identify something watching these old episodes that you don't see in newer episodes. And I think that's one of those big things that newer Simpsons episodes don't have is, yeah, they're a little bit less edgy, but also they don't have as many historical and literature and math and science and all these, like you said, deep cuts to things that are completely obscure for the majority of viewers. They don't have that, so the shows don't seem as smart. They're much more, I guess, I hate to use the word mainstream, but that used to be one of the things that made The Simpsons great, is they had all of these obscure references, which if you, in the days of the internet, if you're a smart kid, you go, huh, I don't get that. Maybe I should go look it up. And nowadays, you just don't see that anymore, which is sad, but I think they're getting better at it recently. But anyway, after the great Earl Warren line, we cut immediately to a Eye on Springfield report with Kent Brockman, who's reporting on how American cartoons are made in Korea, where I'm pretty sure we see the studios where The Simpsons are animated. You've got a nice soldier with a bayonet who's poking the animators in the back.
And
yes,
yeah,
we saw that.
I really like the fact that this early on, they're that, like, brazen about their kind of criticism of the standards that their own animators go through, but I really do enjoy, like, we see the history of Itchy and Scratchy. Like, this is, it's quite a really aesthetic achievement for this episode. Like, to they go through, like, the history of modern animation.
They really do. I mean, it starts out with that happy cat, which is apparently Scratchy walking down the street, which I'm sure was a big accomplishment for animation back in the day. Although we'll actually see later on with Chester J. Lampwick that it wasn't actually the first Scratchy cartoon, but you know. We then move on to Steamboat Itchy, which is a obvious parody of Steamboat Mickey, because in the Simpsons world, there was no peaceful Mickey Mouse. There was just complete and utter violence from the beginning. So it kind of says a lot about their universe. And then we see Itchy and Scratchy teaming up to take on Hitler, which I'm pretty sure the Looney Tunes did as well repeatedly during World War II. So they pretty much pull in, you know, the history of animation and just reform it all around Itchy and Scratchy. And it's really great. I mean, like you said, that is the real history of animated features and shorts, and it's just a great representation of it, even if they had to add in a whole bunch of violence to make it palatable to modern audiences.
Well, there was, to be fair, there was, I mean, the ultra violence wasn't there, but the Looney Tunes violence and physics and stuff was, like, it's Three Stooges violence, which is pretty violent. It just doesn't adhere to normal real life physics and, you know, science. So it doesn't seem as gross, but I mean, that's all that Itchy and Scratchy and, you know, like Ren and Stimpy and all the modern takes on those kind of cartoons is that they just added like blood and gore and it suddenly became horrific instead of being, you know, just cute and funny.
Exactly. It's like, oh, violence is cute when you can't see the consequences of it, which it's funny because movies are still like this today. It's like, oh, you can show people getting shot by the boatload, but if there's no blood coming out of them, you can still have a PG or PG-13 rating. But if you show what happens, you automatically upgrade to R. So, But anyway, while they are watching this, Homer comes in and says, where's Maggie? And Bart says, he asks, didn't I ask you to watch Maggie? And Bart says, sounds like something you'd say. And of course, Maggie's at this point missing. And apparently she has borrowed the car, you know, as kids are wont to do. And she is barreling throughout Springfield, knocking people off the roads and the sidewalks and you know, kind of crashes into the prison and allows Snake and his buddies to be freed. And I really enjoy the music during this. It's kind of like a chase scene from an action movie. And it really fits well. It's funny, but also kind of intense. So you realize that, oh, yeah, Maggie's totally in danger. Luckily, apparently the Simpsons car has airbags because at the end she is saved by the airbag and falls asleep on it. And I love that Snake's first line when he's out of prison is, all right, I'm going to go on a crime wave. Crime spree? One of those two.
One of those two.
Yeah. But as a consequence of this, it's time for a real punishment for Bart.
All right, boy. This calls for the biggest punishment I ever handed down, and this time it's going to stick.
Come on, Homer. This isn't funny.
Damn right. Bart, you can't go to see that Itchy and Scratchy movie ever.
To be fair, he can't really enforce the ever part because once Bart moves out, he can do what he wants. But, you know, that seems like a pretty severe punishment even for Bart. And I feel like the rest of this episode is them playing out how somehow Bart, despite being what is essentially a force for evil, doesn't actually try and go around Homer, or he does, but, you know, in very mild ways. I feel like you could have just said someone else could buy him a ticket and he could sneak in, but apparently a 10-year-old doesn't think of those kind of things.
I think a part of it is that it kind of reinforces that if Homer's firm about something, that it will show Bart that it's important. Like they show that early in that first act, like when he brings him, if he didn't bring him pizza, maybe Bart would have behaved.
Yeah, it's true.
It's so, you know, I think it's that. And I think it also reinforces that Springfield is a small town. And this is before the internet. This is before like DVDs. Like there's VCRs and VHS, but
Beta
is that as well. But this is when it just was released. So it's obviously, this is before movies came out 3 months after they were out of theaters. Or even sooner in some cases. So, it kind of reinforces that there's, unless, we'll tackle this, but when Bart tries to get a ticket to the movie, and there's a side of him that says, "Don't sell this boy, don't sell this kid a ticket." I have a feeling that Homer really did the legwork on this. Like, he literally probably went to every single person that Bart could have, like, got a ticket from and said, "Don't get him, don't give him a ticket."
That's true.
I feel like that was kind of shorthand of that. We go from commercial. The movie opens. Itchy and Scratchy, the movie opens, and the line literally reaches to the Simpsons house. Everyone is in line, even the Flanders. It doesn't seem like a Flanders type movie, but maybe he just wants to show Rod and Todd what is the example of bad cartoons.
They were actually there for a different movie, of course.
You know? Oh, he was in line for Davy and Goliath or something?
Exactly.
Okay. But Bart, of course, is really sad. And Homer and Bart kind of have a little heart-to-heart about if this is good for him or not.
Someday you'll thank me for this, son.
Not bloody likely.
No, it's true. You know, when I was a boy, I really wanted a catcher's mitt, but my dad wouldn't get it for me. So I held my breath until I passed out and banged my head on the coffee table. The doctor thought I might have brain damage.
Dad, what's the point of this story?
I like stories.
Well, can we please go to the movie?
I know my punishment might seem a little harsh, but I can't go back on it. You're welcome to watch anything you want on TV.
TV sucks.
I know you're upset right now, so I'll pretend you didn't say that.
Oh, Homer coming to the defense of television. But it's, I really, like, that's the kind of thing where I think Bart, it's like showing us that Bart is actually getting something from this. Bart tries to, believe Lisa, having seen it, comes and tells him, first trying to be nice and saying, no, it was okay. And then he's like, no, come on, tell me how. She's like, it's the best thing I've ever seen. And, you know, and everything he sees kind of reinforces that it's the best movie ever. We see that Bart has lost his imagination. He tries to envision the movie. He cannot. He tries to read a novelization of Itchy and Scratchy, the movie.
Which is really long.
Yeah, David Foster Wallace, I believe. Which he can't get through, of course. And I really like this little dynamic where Nelson and Milhouse come to him bragging about how many times they've seen the movie.
Well, I've seen the Itchy and Scratchy movie 13 times. I've seen it 17 times. You guys must be getting pretty tired of that movie by now. No one who saw the movie would say that. Let's get him!
And then Milhouse and Nelson both chase after Bart. And I think that really, I really like that inverted power dynamic where Milhouse suddenly is a bully towards Bart because he's seen Itchy and Scratchy and Bart hasn't. And I think that as well. This third act really just kind of redeem Bart's behavior a little bit to me, simply because I think we actually do see Bart learn and grow.
That's true. He does. He seems to accept the punishment for some reason. It's really getting through to him. They don't really go into why, but it's not really necessary to see that. Yes, you know, Bart, you know, is trying to be better for some reason.
Well, I think they're just trying to reestablish that as if Homer actually is firm about why something is bad and actually is, you know, conscientious about the punishment, that maybe Bart learned something instead of just, you know, letting it pass right over.
True.
So a couple of months pass by and both Marge and Lisa finally come to Homer and say, come on, you gotta relent. And I included just this one line because I thought it was very appropriate.
Homer, we'd like to talk to you.
But then I won't be watching TV. You can see the bind I'm in.
Dad, you've got to let Bart see that movie. I've never seen him like this. He has the demented melancholia of a Tennessee Williams heroine.
Don't you think I know that?
I love that. That Homer is aware. The Tennessee, because we just had Streetcar Named Marge.
Yeah.
And then Homer's like, don't you think I know that? Which, that's a really fun little reference to an episode that just happened. Where,
yeah, Homer, no, we don't think you know that.
Yes. It took you a while to catch on. But that made me laugh so hard. But Homer sticks to his guns. He's like, no, it doesn't mean anything if I give in, even after 2 months. And we see Itchy and Scratchy is closing after, 8 months, 9 Academy Awards, setting box office records. And
it'd be on home video by now, if it was today.
Yeah, it would be already. It'd still be in theaters, and yet it would be on DVD or Blu-ray or digital release, iTunes. So Itchy and Scratchy closes. Bart doesn't see it. And we flash forward 40 years later, which would be 2032 if from that moment. So 2032 where Homer and Bart is a Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. It worked.
Which, the other future episodes kind of contradict that, but we'll go with it.
Yeah, exactly. It's from this particular episode's sliding door, if you want to go that dimension. Particular path leads directly to Bart becoming Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And Homer and Bart are seeing and going to a movie theater, and they're showing Itchy and Scratchy the movie along with Beauty and the Beast, classic animation. And they sit down and see it together as father and son. Homer finally relenting now that Bart has grown up. And they have a little commentary at the end.
Which one's a mouse?
Itchy.
Itchy's a jerk.
Yeah.
Itchy's a jerk, man.
Well, yeah, that's probably true. Unless he, like Bart, is just a force of evil in nature.
I would not call Bart evil, necessarily. He's a 10-year-old. He's
true. He's just a force of destruction.
He's splattering mustard, but he's not, like, murdering innocents or anything.
True.
I really like this episode. Despite my complaints about Bart at times, it's really tight, and thematically it's very consistent, which is something I think we harp on a lot. But it from beginning to end, it's really about that journey of Homer and Bart.
Yep.
I don't know where to rank it. It's getting harder and harder to do this every week. But it's
well, you got a few minutes to think about it.
Yeah, exactly. I've already pondered a bit, but I really do you like this one, Matt?
I do. I really like this one. Like watching it again, there were so many times I just laughed out loud because I had forgotten some of the parts, like we were ripping up the floor or the mustard packets or just something random like that. And Bart the novelization and this episode, I feel like more than several of the ones around it has those, you know, references to, you know, literature and, you know, science and those sorts of things that I talked about before. And I really enjoy those because as a kid, those are the things what I had to go ask adults about and I learned from it. And this episode has quite a few of them that just, they still make me laugh because they're so spot on. It's a good episode, I think.
Yeah, we got beats. Nowadays, if she said that, she'd have headphones.
That's true. And plus, you'd be like, oh, we went out into the organic farmer's market and got beets. And nowadays, we'd be like, those are still disgusting. Thanks, Lisa.
Well, we'll rank it at the end of the show. Moving on. No My Favorite Episode submissions for this, but please keep sending them in. Simply email us what your favorite episode is and why at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. We'll read it on air. Next up, we have comments from the news group. Hey, there we are.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Every week I call the old Simpsons news group on alt.tv.simpsons. It's archived on Google Groups. You can find it if you want. And look for what they're talking about when the episode aired. This week, not a bunch, aside from the usual. People are starting to complain about that the board is too big. There are too many people on it. And them harkening back to the days when I liked The Simpsons before. It was cool. And et cetera, et cetera. Also,
boy, they're not going to like the internet in a few years.
No, exactly. They also have debates if the writers of the show are reading the news group. At some point, they had decided that they're going to constantly reference Lutefisk, like as a very select thing that maybe if like and tell the writers like include this somewhere if you're paying attention. And they point to an issue of Simpsons Illustrated that mentions Lutefisk as an example of them actually reading the news group. I don't know about that. It's a kind of a funny sounding word, so you could throw it in a lot of gags. I don't know. Yeah. But I think it's funny that the debate was there at all. And later on you learn that they did read the news group, if not, I don't know if they actually used anything they talked about, but you know, they based Comic Book Guy on that. The clip I played is kind of that. But not much else. No dinosaurs tidbits this week.
Thank goodness they finally stopped talking about that.
just dinosaurs. Moving on to our listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL's gonna give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
This week's question is, how would you end The Simpsons? Very tough question. This is suggested by Chris. And I really wanted... I had to think really hard about this. I tried to go a little bit in particulars, and people answered with varying degrees, but you guys, of course, always do a great job. Tons of responses. First, we have Sean at ShyMac15. The show ends with family going to see Springfield Elementary's Christmas pageant, bringing everything full circle. Danny at Wooshing AH with a similar answer, with the Simpsons driving to a Christmas show at the elementary school, ties first and last episode together. And there's a lot of that in many of the answers is, you know, kind of tying everything back together. Brandon at Funny Film Fan, his answer, whole episode is homage to other shows ending, i.e. Homer is a lumberjack. Fade to black to Homer. Fade to black to Homer singing Journey song. That's not bad. That's pretty clever. Bryant at Red So Deep, doesn't matter about the episode, just has to end with them on the couch watching TV. Homer turns it off, all of them looking at each other lovingly. The TV turns off, the white dot in the middle, credits roll, the end. One word long at One Word Long, I would do an old school motion optional featuring the wedding of Lenny and Carl. I'm not a big shipper, but I always thought that would be nice and right. That's not a bad idea. Justin at Justin If IFCIT. Ending in a way that wraps up nicely while still leaving it open for more stories in the future, like Futurama's finale. And I think I'm not sure which finale he means. I'm assuming he means the end of season 4 finale, like the first finale.
The first one of 3.
The first run. I think that was a very good ending. We have David at D. Levy. Zoidberg turns off his TV and says it was terrible after season 200 anyway.
That's a good one. I like that one a lot. Sorry for my love for Zoidberg.
Yeah. Why not Zoidberg? He never says that in the show. But we have Izzy, who, you know, friend of the show. As a fan of Futurama, I think a twist ending in a similar style would do the show justice. After the final episode, just before the credits roll, screen pans out of the Simpsons watching TV as if the whole show is just itself, just a show. Homer makes a comment, God, I'm glad that's over. Lisa says, I feel we can learn a lot from what we just saw. Then Bart says, yeah, never watch Fox. That's pretty good. Pretty good answer, Izzy. I like it.
Yes, I like those.
Anytime you insult Fox, it works really well. We have Brian. I would end the series with a Seinfeld-esque finale, give every character a moment in the spotlight, then end it with Bart and Lisa finally moving on to the next grade, Maggie starting preschool, to show they finally advanced in their age. Either that or have Homer ask, who's up for some frosty chocolate milkshakes, and drive off into the sunset. We have Brandon. How about the show ends by fading the black, then feeding an actual person with his head down. He pops up to reveal it as Matt Groening. Matt could then look down at either a blank page or drawing of the early Simpsons family, then look to look off screen to James L. Brooks and say, how about the Simpsons? And I like that. We have Joanna, who actually emailed us. I thought about them having make a future episode where we see their lives. The core family through to the end, but they have so many future eps already. I think it'd be funny just have an actual year or two pass, have Bart and Lisa be a year older in a new grade, have Homer and Marge turn 40, and Maggie start to talk. Yeah, like a progression to their future. Our final answer is from Chris, who suggested the question, so I thought it was only fair. I really enjoy his as well. Mine is simple. I just want it to be a Christmas episode, current day, or glance into the future of everyone's older. Don't care. Don't care about anything else that happens in the episode, as long as it has a family together at their dinner table, housing their food, slop noises and all, as only the Simpsons do. Snowball and S. Sansa Hope are fighting over a ham bone or just laying at someone's feet sleeping. Something. And just fade to black. Nothing fancy. Just fade away. Is that weird? No, I think that's actually very poetic. Simple is probably the best. But Matt, I'm very curious about what you think. How should the show end? I want to know how much detail you went into, actually. That's really the main core of it.
Well, I didn't really go into a whole lot of detail because I as a host, I get two of these. So, you know, sorry. One is I would love to see a clip show of just the best moments of The Simpsons, maybe an hour long or something like that. It's essentially them watching home movies at the end, kind of like they said, turn it off and be like, man, I'm glad that all that's over. Although I would also like a movie, kind of like the original movie where they have to save Springfield for something. But at the end, we see them later on and they actually have to leave Springfield behind. And it shows a little bit of character growth for them. Maybe show, like they said, Bart and Lisa, you know, graduating from their individual grades. Maybe, I don't know, Patty and Selma getting married. Obviously next to each other, that'd be weird. But just little things like that to show that the characters have some sort of growth. But I really think The Simpsons leaving Springfield would pretty much be the end of any crazy misadventures they could have, and that still leaves it open for a sequel in case they have to come back or something like that.
Yeah, I I kind of have, like, you have two answers. I kind of have two ideas. I think that there is a way to mesh them together. I just couldn't come up with one, but I'm fairly certain if given enough time, I could. And I think I would need, like, a two-parter, at least, if not a movie.
Oh, yeah,
like you least. Suggested. I would, because I'd want to make it big, but at least, but also have time for the denouement, like, a, you know, that kind of, where a lot of people, a lot of our listeners' answers were about, you know, ending them on the couch or on the, you know, together, having, like, a family moment. The two ideas I had were have Burns and Sideshow Bob team up.
Nice. That would be great.
They're the, you know, the two big villains and, you know, against the family in some way. And I would want a moment where Burns remembers Homer, where he doesn't have to be reminded.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That came to me. I'm like, that should be in the final episode. I think that should be it. But I think also they should tie it into some sort of plot where Krusty is ending. He's leaving. Like, he's ending his show.
Oh, yeah.
And having his final episode and kind of have a little bit of... yeah, well, again. But have, like, a meta-analysis of kind of Bart being sad about this. Lisa could be the kind of the cynical more fan where she's like, it's not as good as it has been, like, in the past. And they could kind of explore the history of The Simpsons through kind of how Krusty's show and... I don't... Maybe have Burns and Sideshow Bob try and have them cancel Krusty or... Who knows? Like, I'm sure there's a way you could tie those plots together, especially if you give it enough time. But I definitely want the family on the couch to end it.
Yeah.
I don't know how I would weave that all together. I do want them on the couch watching something, like watching that last Krusty episode, maybe, or watching the last Itchy and Scratchy, or something along those lines. And they have a final bit, like Izzy's answer, I particular about, you know, having gags about, you know, thank God that's all over, you know, don't watch Fox, all that. A good gag as they go off, something that I undercuts. Because I think about this and I think The Simpsons are really at its core, it's about television and about fiction in general, but specifically television, because and it should end kind of in a way that subverts that mushy ending. At least a little. Like, I know that's what a lot of us want, but I think that it should subvert it at least a little bit at the end there.
That's true. It's one of those things where The Simpsons, their entire theme essentially is a parody of sitcom television. So the last episode probably should have something, you know, that is essentially a parody of that. And I feel like Seinfeld kind of did that in its last episode, since it was a show about nothing or whatever. But I think The Simpsons could definitely do it better.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so next week, folks, listener question is, what is your favorite fake Simpsons movie? Whatever in Simpsons universe movie. There's a lot of them. I'm sure we can find a compendium of them somewhere. I already have a favorite in my head, but I think I always have that. You can find this on our find this question on our social media. Be on our Facebook, which is facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, on Twitter at Simpsons Show Pod, and you can email us again at simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com. And apparently I just got an email from Ralph Wiggum. my daddy helped me write this email to tell you my favorite episode. That's good. Thank you. Thank you, Ralph. We got a favorite episode submission from Ralph, guys, so I think we can call it a day.
Oh, no.
but yeah, I'll post it there. You guys can answer there. On to our new Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
New Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each bring three questions, one easy, one medium, one hard, and challenge one another and see if we can stomp the other. We take themes, suggestions from our listeners, and this week for Mitch and Izzy, in honor of both Matt and I recent nuptials, a theme about weddings, Simpsons weddings, which there are plenty. And Izzy sent a good list of questions that I'm gonna pick a couple from after we do ours. Matt, hit me with an easy one. You start.
All right. I was not informed of this particular theme until like 3 minutes ago, so I apologize if these are a little rushed. But your easy question: why do Homer and Marge get married so soon?
Because there was a bun in the oven.
Indeed, they were pregnant. Marge was pregnant with Bart. Homer wasn't pregnant with anything except a food baby.
And Matt, you act like you come up with these questions years in advance on a normal basis.
I actually wrote 6 questions this morning for this episode and the next, and then I learned there's a theme that I didn't know about. So
you gotta check the notes. I put the notes in last night. You gotta look at the notes.
At 11:30 last night, thank you.
Hey, I can't help it. You're an old timer, goes to bed at 9 a.m.
I went to bed at 10:30, thank you.
Whoa!
A.M.?
Yeah, that's the joke, Matt. Get it? Really early?
Fair enough. Okay. Yeah, I got you.
Okay, my easy question. What are the cufflinks Homer gives Hugh in Lisa's wedding?
They are little pigs in tuxes.
You're correct. I knew you'd get it, but it's an easy one. It's
considering I had them, I would hope I got it.
Yeah, exactly. Hit me in the medium.
All right, your medium question is, what does Chief Wiggum lose at Selma's wedding to Sideshow Bob?
His penknife? Or, like,
No, you're on the right track. It's a weapon.
Oh, his gun. Oh, okay.
That's right.
I was trying to think of, like, I'm trying to remember him trying to open up something, and that was it, the gun, right?
Yep, he leaves it when he gets a piece of cake, which, you know, cake is way more important than...
than self-defense as a police officer? Absolutely.
Exactly. All right, hit me.
Who voices Hugh Parkfield in Lisa's Wedding?
I honestly didn't know it was anyone in particular.
Yeah, it is.
Let me think. Who could Hugh be?
I'm going to go ahead and say it's not Hugh Grant.
Aw.
Just give you that one little life preserver there, Matt.
I honestly have no idea. I cannot think of his voice. I can think of Hugh's voice, but I don't know whose voice that is.
It is old Inigo Montoya himself, Manny Patinkin.
Oh, my God. Okay, yeah, I never would have gotten that. I did not realize that at all. I want to go watch that episode. Thanks a lot.
I'm sorry to give you such a curse.
I know. I was in the middle of season 20, and then look what you made me do.
You could still watch both. You can do one, then the other. I will let you.
That's true, I can. All right, your hard question, sir.
I'm ready.
When Springfield legalizes gay marriage, why does Patty's wedding not happen?
I knew this at some point, and I forgot it already. I can't remember. I'm not gonna draw it out. I don't know.
All right, fair enough. It is because her bride turns out to be a guy.
Ah, okay.
Veronica turns out to be a dude.
Okay. Well, you ready for your hard one, Matt? I thought this was really hard.
I am. I'm a little worried after the medium, but...
You might, I don't know, you might find this easier, but I think it's really clever, and that's all I care about. What year is the future in Lisa's wedding?
I want to say it's 2015.
Meh.
Oh. 2010. Oh.
Yeah. That's...
So it takes place way in the past then. All right.
Yes. It's now in the past.
Man, I am not doing well today.
It's okay. It can't be perfect. I have a few questions from Izzy, and these are all wedding themed as well. He sent in a bunch, but I'll you know, space them out. I'll throw in a few later on. This season. In the episode of the two Nahasapima Petalons, what kind of flower is used to seal a Pooh's arranged marriage?
A lotus, I believe.
You are correct. Good job.
Yeah.
From that same episode, what god does Homer portray to try and stop the wedding?
Ganesh.
That's correct. See, you're redeeming yourself, man. You're doing a good job. And finally,
that's true, but only because Ganesh is an elephant, and if I forgot that, I would be, you know, killed in my sleep.
Don't think you go that crazy. In It's a Mad, 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 Mad March, what tribute band does Otto hire to play at the wedding?
Cyanide, a loving tribute to Poison.
That's correct. See, you're doing a good job. You're a good job, Matt. There you go. You bring it back. I do have, I want to do one other thing. One other question I think is really clever. This is from Joanna. She sent in three of these where, you know, there's a lot of episodes called Lisa the, Bart the, and Homer the. I want you to name eight Lisa the episode names.
Holy crap. Okay. Let's see. There's Lisa the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa the Iconoclast.
Mm-hmm. It's two.
Jeez. Lisa the...
We've done
Lisa
one.
The Babysitter.
Mm-mm. Nope.
That's not?
Not the name of the episode.
All right.
We've done one of them that you haven't mentioned yet.
I know. I'm
very
I'm
recently
really
as well.
Titles. Lisa the beauty queen. Duh.
There you go. You have three.
I honestly can't think of titles very well.
Okay.
If you ask me about one of them, I could probably get it, but not naming a whole bunch.
So we have Lisa the Greek, Lisa the beauty queen, Lisa the iconoclast. Those are the three you named. Then we have Lisa the vegetarian, okay. Lisa the skeptic.
Oh, Lisa the skeptic. Dang it. Should have gotten that one.
Lisa the Simpson.
Of course.
Lisa the tree hugger. and Lisa the Drama Queen.
Oh, Drama Queen's a good one. I actually just watched Tree Hugger. I'm terrible.
So we also have a list for Bart and Homer, which we're going to do at a later date.
I'll have to brush up.
Mm-hmm, I see how it is. Cheating.
Well, you shouldn't have told me then.
Oh, well, we're never going to do them then. I'm going to throw them away now. You just ruined it. Thanks. Just ruined Joanna's email. She sent us a nice long email. All these trivia questions. You're going to ruin that. Appreciate that.
I'm a ruiner. It's what I do.
Cheater. But yeah, you guys can send us either. I have a couple themes lined up. You can continue sending them in. I will use them as we get to them and send in more trivia questions as well. Which now that I'm off my honeymoon and maybe as soon as I'm done with Witcher 3, I'll put them on our website. So I'll never put them on our website. That's a joke. I think it is finally time for our last segment. Segment we end every show with, that is time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where does this one go, Matt? It's hard.
It's a tough one. Looking at the last. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say it's a strange. I want to put it, like, compare it to Lisa the Greek a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. I was actually comparing it to Bart the Murderer.
Okay, yeah, it's there too.
It's heavily Bart focused, yeah. And I actually think that like Bart the Murderer is a slightly better episode. It's a little bit funnier, a little more interesting in the whole mystery aspect. But it's still really good. So I'm looking at like somewhere between Bart the Murderer and Bart the Lover, just because we're going with the Bart theme here. But I think it's definitely better than Bart the Lover by far. So,
I actually would put it under Saturdays of Thunder, because I think definitely. Saturdays of Thunder is a Bart Homer episode. I think that one's better than this one.
Okay.
I would compare it actually very comparable to Lisa's Pony, where it's like a father-child relationship, but it's not as strong necessarily as I would put it probably right below Lisa's Pony.
I was in the same thing, because you kind of have like Father Like Clown, which is also about something similar. It's not a, you know, Simpson family focused one, but I think the themes tend to be a little similar. A father who's displeased with his son and tries to do what's best, but you know, yeah, they're slightly similar, but yeah, I think that's a really good place for it.
So right below Lisa's Pony?
Right below Lisa's Pony.
Okay. So we have Itchy and Scratchy, the movie, at new number 20, right above Like Father Like Clown, right below Lisa's Pony. I was lower than I expected to go, but I think it's an appropriate spot for it. That's fine. It's still a very good episode. If you look at the episodes above it, they're all good. I mean, it's not like I could, most of these are categorically good things. Like, there's very few that I would say, terrible. None of them I would say is terrible. Like, in comparing them to fiction. Even Homer's Odyssey, I would say I'd rather watch that than any episode of, Bazinga, what the hell that show's called, the terrible one.
The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, is that what they call that show? I thought that was...
It is, surprisingly.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was just a collection of catchphrases in front of a non-studio audience. But yeah, you can find this list at our website, simplythesimpsonsshow.com, along with everything else. You guys know the internet. You can find things. Go there. Look at stuff. It's fun. It's a good place. Next week, I've already mentioned it early on. It is Marge Gets a Job, which I haven't watched in a while. I'm very excited to watch it again.
I remember it being quite good, so we'll see if it holds up.
Yeah, Marge Burns Homer episode, kind of. I there's some Smithers in there as well. Kind of like it. before we go, you can find me online on Twitter at MixedMasterCereal. It's MixedMasterCereal. Please check out my comic book podcast, Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
That's true, but I do tend to have a unreliable vehicle, so if you see anyone around Orlando that is thumbing a ride, it might be me, so pick me up and see.
I think with that, we can call it a day. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching the Simpsons!